Well, it's December, Advent time, and this Advent we're looking at this idea of missing peace. And you might notice our Christmas tree adorned with all sorts of jigsaw piece puzzles, and that'll become more meaningful in the coming weeks. But we're looking at this idea of peace, and really when we look around, peace seems to be missing. I want to start this morning by reading from the book of Isaiah, and there's a very classic verse that gets brought out almost every December. It's a very familiar passage, and in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, and it says this, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." It's a very familiar passage. We would have heard it many times, but that last line where it says he's going to be called the Prince of Peace, it brings to mind that idea that the angels shouted at Jesus' birth, that there is going to be peace on earth and goodwill to all men. But if we look around at our world, it's kind of like, where is that peace exactly? It's like, did it actually happen? Did the angels get it wrong? Is Isaiah's prophecy not accurate? Just look around globally. We've got tensions between all sorts of nations. There's the political things just going crazy. Economies shifting at every moment. Locally, you can just look around in our local area, scrolling the news, whether on TV or social media. Nearly every headline is about some kind of conflict or drama going on or a problem in our local neighborhood. Or even in our own homes, we can be frustrating each other. There just doesn't seem to be much peace anywhere. It's kind of crazy. If you look at the Global Peace Index, this is something that ranks every country, all 163 countries in the world, and it ranks them based on their levels of crime and violence and their involvements in conflicts and political tensions. And it starts off, the black countries are the most peaceful, down to the red ones. And if you start and look at Iceland is the most peaceful country according to this index. Iceland, Ireland, New Zealand, if you're thinking it's too much here in Australia, go to New Zealand. That's my little tourism plug for them. Looks like a lovely, peaceful place. Australia, if you're wondering, is ranked 18th on this list. That's up from 27th just 3 years ago. But the fact that this peace index even exists, the fact that we are ranking countries based on their lack of peace, really, kind of says something about the lack of peace in our world. Like, where exactly is this peace that Isaiah promised us? It just doesn't feel like it's here, not globally, not locally, not in our own homes. That peace that Isaiah promised just seems to be missing. And so while we're asking, where is this peace? It's interesting, Scripture looks back at us and says, well, you shouldn't be surprised. This is part of our fallen world, and let me show you why. If you start with Isaiah, he gave this promise to Israel that a child would come, a ruler, a Messiah, a bringer of peace. And if Jesus is this Prince of Peace, the one who brings peace, why is the world seemingly opposite? Jesus addressed this himself. He doesn't expect a blanket peace to be wrapped around the world at this time. And he says in Matthew 24, verse 6, 7, he describes basically what it is we're experiencing. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you're not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. Jesus knows this world is going to be full of trouble and all these different things happening. But does that sound familiar at all? It's almost like Jesus was watching the news of today. It kind of seems interesting that he could predict what seems to be happening right now in our world. But he wasn't just being dramatic and going, the world will be horrible, the world will be awful. No, I think he's being honest about the brokenness that is in our world, a world that is still in bondage to decay and under the effects of sin. It might be hard to translate that well into our Australian context, where our Global Peace Index is like 18, it's very easy for us to go, you know what, the problems of the world, they're all over there somewhere. They're beyond our borders. We can just shut that out and just pretend we're in this beautiful, lovely, peaceful country and convince ourselves things are okay. But if you think about a country like Cambodia sits 87th on this list, so roughly the middle. That's actually down from 62 a few years ago. But Cambodia is a nation that has historically rarely known much peace at all. It's historically been a very contested land and has had so many wars, so many different changing states ruling over them, occupations, liberations, ongoing conflicts. Luke Hutchison, a former Baptist Mission Australia worker who was stationed in Cambodia, he says that even now, after a couple of decades of relative peace in Cambodia, he still discovered an underlying cultural feeling that this relative peace that the people of Cambodia experience now could disappear at any moment. They've known a lack of peace so severely that they're worried that the peace they experience now is just that fragile. And he says it was common for him to find people expressing this fear that the geopolitical situation could change at any moment and they could quickly lose what they experience. Even amongst young people who have been born since the peace has come still seem to have this fear. It's a deep-seated cultural feeling that is carrying over from generation to generation, that is shaping a worldview for this group of people that in this situation, peace is just not a commodity they're used to. Peace is something that is very missing for them. It's a very stark reality. And so when Jesus is telling us that is what the world looks like now, he's actually just saying, this is the world we're living in. This is the world that our humans have created, that sin has influenced, that we're just going to be experiencing before his return. And if Jesus is telling us what the world looks like now, Isaiah is promising us what the world could look like one day. Earlier in Isaiah, in chapter 2, he describes a picture of a day when peace will reign over the entire earth, when that blanket of peace does eventually come. He talks about a day when weapons will be recycled into tools because they're no longer needed. He talks about a day when nations have turned to Jesus and they are walking in his light, not trying to face off against each other and being power hungry, but rather nations are following Jesus, where peace has truly come to the whole world. Like, imagine if the news departments and the media outlets, instead of having war correspondents, they just were only pumping out good news stories because there was no need for the War Department anymore. I mean, that day hasn't come yet. We know that very well. But Isaiah promises that one day it will, that this peace is coming because God has promised it. So while we are grieving the missing peace in our world, we should not be surprised by it. Don't be surprised by the missing peace. Instead, be expectant of the hope of the one day coming peace of God. So if we're sitting in this time between now, when the global peace hasn't arrived, and one day God has promised this peace to come, does that mean, oh, hang it, we just have to sort of suck it up and live in it? Does that leave us high and dry? What do we do here? Sitting here waiting for Christ's return and hoping for this eventual promise of peace, it's not quite a case of just, whatever. No, thankfully, it's not just that. If we turn to Luke 2, and we see the coming of Jesus, we can see the very reason that he came. That as he came, the angels came to the shepherds and they declared to them, it says, suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angels praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. They're not saying peace has come to cover the whole world right now, but they are saying the one who brings peace has arrived. And that we can know that peace now, even in a world that is seemingly devoid of it. In announcing Christ's birth and declaring this peace has arrived, the angels are signaling that peace with God through Jesus is available to us right now and that it is the key to everything. That offer of peace is there for us in our lives, in our homes, in our families. Even amongst the missing peace in the world around us, we are able to experience God's peace in the here and now as we come to him through Jesus. That peace that humanity originally had with God in the Garden of Eden, that was broken when humanity decided to go against God, that is now being restored through Jesus Christ. He has come to bring peace to the world. And when Jesus came to reconcile the world to himself, it was to restore that peace. When Jesus said that he had come so that we might have life to the fullest, it's not just about having all the best things and succeeding at everything in life. It's also so that we can have this peace with God. So don't be surprised by the lack of peace in the world, but be expectant of God's peace to come. So what do we do with this? There's a whole bunch of cool stuff yet. Peace, God's promised peace, it's coming. Jesus came to bring peace into the world. What does that mean for me right now as I'm standing here in the middle of this auditorium? I get an eternal perspective. God's peace on the whole world will be made inevitable when Christ returns. And we look forward to that and we pray for that and we anticipate it and say, Lord Jesus, come. And God has promised this will happen, but he's also started his peace now in us, in those who choose to follow him. That peace isn't just a future promise, it's a long way off. It is something that we can start to experience in the here and now. And while we can't control wars and conflicts and the craziness that's going on in our world, we can welcome the peace of Christ into the chaos of our lives. Like if we expect that the peace will never come, that's going to shape our outlook on everything. Like the people that Luke worked with in Cambodia, their worldview is just so shaped that peace is not really a lasting reality, and so they expect it's going to disappear. But if we know and expect that God's peace is going to come one day and that we can experience a taste of it now, that's going to impact the way we look at things. But at the same time, if we just naively think that these problems are just an overseas issue or something that is disconnected from us, we're going to miss the opportunity for God to work in our everyday life at the moment. So what about here, Robert Street, Como? What does that look like for us? I think actually one of the problems we have in trying to see this peace is we have this expectation of peace is here and everything should work right and we expect things to be okay. And then all of a sudden things go wrong and that shatters what's going on for us and that just sort of introduces the missing peace for us here in our Western world. Have you ever experienced that? Just suddenly like, oh, I thought everything was going right and then all of a sudden something changes and everything's suddenly wrong? Before we just shake our heads at global conflict and say the peace is missing out there, let's think about what's happening in here. Let me confess something about my own week. Like, I know you all think I'm perfect because I'm a pastor, but I'm going to shatter that for you now, and you might think less of me. That's okay. But this is reality. You ever had one of those mornings where everything just goes wrong? It could be all sorts of things. You go to start the car to go to work, and it's not working. Or the kids have misplaced their hats and lunchboxes, but don't tell you until you're getting in the car to take them to school. Or you've woken up and found the dog has been sick all over the floor, and you don't have time to deal with that mess. Like, you know those mornings where the things are just not going the way you think they should? I had one of those mornings this week. Early in the week, I was trying to corral everyone to get ready for the day, and just nothing was working. I'm trying to get everyone to work. I'm trying to get them to school, trying to get them to daycare. And just every time I turned around, something new was going wrong. And just my inner peace was disappearing. And I was getting frustrating. And my frustrations about how the world is out to get me grew. And everything was rising up. And I was definitely missing peace this day, this week. Until eventually I got into my office and sat down to work on this sermon about peace. And I just sort of felt as I'm reading it over and examining these passages and as I'm trying to read through it and go, how on earth do I convince this to myself it's real? I sort of just felt like Jesus was talking to me saying, yeah, the world isn't right. And stuff doesn't go the way you might expect it. But I have promised to return and make it right. In the meantime, hold on to me. Find your hope and peace in me. And then live that out and let it reshape how you see the world. Now, that wasn't an audible voice I was hearing, but it's just the sense I was getting from Jesus as I sat down. And as I started to feel that frustration melt away, I was like, thanks, Jesus. Yeah, my reactions weren't right. Yeah, stuff was frustrating. But you know what? Jesus is still a part of my life. And as I let go and surrender to him and experience some of his peace, things just started to settle a bit. I got a bit better perspective and everything was good. Until it all happened again on Friday. Whereas this time I was reminded straight away as I was gently knocking my head against the wall. I was going, Jesus, you did this for me on Tuesday. Help me get back there again today. We are up and down kind of people, aren't we? As we go through life and we experience the frustrations of things not going right or seeing peace missing or experiencing all sorts of things, we're not going to get it right every single day. But the great thing is Jesus walks the journey with us and he invites us to experience the peace with him. And yes, my day not going right and not going to my expectations, in the grand scheme of the world, that's just a small minor thing, right? And I know many of us in this room are experiencing much greater examples of missing peace in their lives. Some of it we know, some of it is happening silently, but there is so much going on. But I'm grateful to know that Jesus is willing to step into those spaces, whether it's as small as my day didn't go well or as big as I don't know what the next turn is. How good that Jesus, well, is excited to be part of our little things as well as the big things, and even to step into the greater spaces in the world globally. Doesn't mean my chaos is going to disappear just because I surrender to Jesus. I don't think so. But following Jesus teaches me that I can find my peace and my rest in him, even when nothing seems to be going right. But that's an interesting thing to try and live out. It's great to say from the front. It's great to say, yeah, Jesus found me in my office when I'm paid to sit down and talk about Jesus stuff. But, I mean, how do we live this out in our daily life? It's an interesting struggle to go through, especially when those frustrations are rising or the fear is in front of us or the unknown is surrounding us. Do we quickly turn to Jesus or do we just sit in that worry for a moment? How do we actually look to find this peace in our own lives? How can we find it? We might feel anger or discouragement or fear or powerlessness, but those are forces beyond our control that are making those feelings come. Maybe we're just inclined to look away from it and hide from it and go, I'm all good, everything's fine. But escaping the idea of missing peace doesn't really help us either. The problems are still there. So here's a good thing to remember that has been helping me this week as I'm thinking about this. The presence of conflict and trouble does not mean the absence of Christ. The presence of conflict and trouble in our life does not mean the absence of Christ. Even as something as simple as my kids wouldn't get ready for school and the car wouldn't work properly and the dog was sick everywhere, Jesus was willing to stand there and go, Ben, I have come to bring peace into your world. Even as I sit there facing the unknown of what's going on next in my life, Jesus is sitting there with me going, I've got this, I've got you. Eternally, we're good. No matter what is going on in my life, Jesus is there with me, bringing peace to my life. Just because we might see some conflict doesn't mean Jesus is missing. He came into this world to bring peace. He wants to step into the messes that we have, that we're facing. And if we just invite him in, amazing things could be happening as we experience this peace from God. So what do we do when the peace is missing, whether it's a global peace or our own upturned lives? Here's three things I think we can do. We can grieve honestly, we can pray boldly, and we can live it out. Grieving honestly, Jesus didn't ask us to pretend that the world is all hunky-dory. He didn't ask us to pretend things are fine. But at the same time, we shouldn't just cover it up or just pretend everything's normal. No, grieving what is broken and being honest about that helps us to see the world for what it is. And when we're honest in that space, when we see it and we acknowledge it, that's the first step for us being able to go, okay, there is a problem that I need Jesus to meet. So that is our first step, to be honest about what's going on, whether it is in our own life or in a global setting. And then secondly, as we pray boldly, we pray for peace in our world or in our communities or in our house. And not just token prayers of going, hey, I'm a Christian, I'm supposed to pray for this. No, prayers that are bold, that believe and understand that God is real and at work and that he's able to bring peace into our lives. We pray boldly to a God who can do these things and bring peace to the most unlikely of places and the most unlikely of people. Grieve it, pray about it, and then live it out. Now, when I say live it out, this isn't just a fake it till you make it kind of thing. No, this is, we can't bring peace on our own because we're not perfect people, but we can bring a glimpse of that peace into our world. As we receive Jesus' peace in our lives, we can live it out by living that out through kindness, through patience, through understanding or forgiveness or through actions. We can point the way towards Jesus and the peace that he brings in our homes or living it out with our neighbors as we support one another through those missing peace moments, or even taking part in something as simple as the Better World gift store that Theo was talking about. We can be a preview in this world of the peace that God has promised to bring globally when he returns. So yeah, our world is indeed missing peace. We feel it, we see it, we grieve it. But don't be surprised by the lack of peace in the world. Be expectant of the hope that God has promised to bring. Christmas time tells us this, that Jesus has come to bring peace, and he will return to complete that peace. And right now, even in the chaos of our world and the chaos of the unknown or the fear or the missing expectations, he can bring his peace to us in this moment. The presence of the conflict and trouble does not mean the absence of Jesus. If anything, it should drive us straight back to him, into his open arms, as we surrender and let ourselves rest in who he is. We are going to move into communion this morning, and we can take this opportunity as we do to come to Jesus and to remember why he came to our world in the first place, to help address the missing peace. He came to bring peace and ultimately to go to the cross, to deal with sin, to defeat it, and to bring his victory into the world. And this morning, if you are feeling like you're in a situation of having missing peace, no matter how small or how big, whether you're facing whatever reason, some illness or some grief or some loss or messiness or whatever it is you're facing, bring it to Jesus. Those feelings are real. Those experiences are real. But Jesus is willing to step into it with us. So as we do take communion, as we take the bread and the cup, and we remember Jesus' broken body for us and his blood shed for us, we are reminded of that peace that he brings into our lives. So I want us to take hold of that this morning as we do this. Don't just let this be our ritual that we do every so often of, yeah, here's the bread, here's the wine. No, this morning as we do, let's focus in on that fact that Jesus came to bring peace. This act of him coming into our world, stepping in such lowly circumstances, and then going to the cross on our behalf brings peace to our lives. So when the peace starts to fade tomorrow morning or the next day, keep coming back to Jesus and take hold of it again. But this morning, as we come forward and receive these elements, let's spend time focusing on the fact that Jesus has brought peace to us. As you do, come forward, grab the bread, eat that in your own time and remember his work on the cross and think about your situation of missing peace. Hold on to the cup, and we're going to drink that together in unity as we remember him and the peace he brings. So I invite you to come forward and to receive that now. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we enter into this Christmas season, which seems to have been going for so long already this year. But God, we remember this year, this season, this month, these weeks, that you came to bring peace into our world. And God, while we do long for that day when you bring that inevitable global peace at your return, we thank you for the peace that you bring into our lives now. Well, God, I just want to say we surrender to you and thank you for the peace that you do bring. Thank you for the peace of forgiveness of sins. Thank you for the peace that we find as we rest in you in the midst of our chaos. Lord, for the missing peace that we collectively hold at the moment, whether it is our craziness of life, whether it is the unknown of what's next, whether it is the illnesses we face. God, I ask you to help us to discover and experience your supernatural peace today, right now in this moment. And God, help us as we sit in that peace to be reminded and to remember that as we feel the discontent again, as we start to see it all rise up again, that God, we can come running back to your arms and find your peace again. Thank you for the peace you bring. God, let it be real in our lives today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.